There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It sure looks like the six trades we've been telling you about for the last 2 hours are the trades that happen, including Za'Darius Smith to Detroit.
It is nice that we don't have to wait until, like, 3 in the morning or so tonight to get results.
Yeah. And, well, here's the thing. I'm not staying up for those results either. I'll wake up tomorrow and we'll figure it out.
It does kind of suck, though. Like, I'm getting myself, I'm going to watch Kornacki. I'm going to have all the different coverage going. And then I'm just going to have to, at 11:30, just call it?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't
it's
do
probably
that.
Not going to be called. So I'm just going to have to sit there and be like, I guess I'll wake up in the morning and find out. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night, look at my phone, and get a text notification. And that's going to be it?
Yeah, I think that's better, right? I think it's better if you just get your sleep tonight.
And then just to roll just back over and fall asleep?
There's no amount of Kornacki that you can watch that is going to make you feel better about what you see one way or another.
Okay.
Right?
Like, well, I don't know. I mean,
like, this is a sporting event in which it's like a
but
it's
you
like
get
the
no
Super
result,
Bowl.
Though. That's the problem. It's the Super Bowl as if we all just in the second quarter decided to just, you know, go to bed.
And then wake up tomorrow and, hey, the Chiefs won again.
Chiefs won. Push notification.
Yeah.
Mahomes wins his third straight. Oh, that's okay.
So I think what is interesting, like, that's kind of what spurned my, what were you most wrong about the Browns conversation?
When you bid against Jerry Jeudy, guess what? You get Jerry Jeudy.
Okay, that was out of pocket, but Zach was on fire. And when you let Zach Jackson cook, sometimes he makes a beautiful omelet
like
that.
He turns into Bobby Flay is what
he
happens.
He flayed the whole damn thing.
Let him cook. That man's emerald. Bam.
But, and that's where I got that's where I started to think about the idea of, like, what did you get most wrong? And what do you think the Browns got most wrong? And I think it's trusting this defense because the Deshaun thing was always a 50-50. The offensive line, yeah, your tackles, all three tackles were coming off major surgery last year. There was a chance.
I still had no idea it could be as bad as it's been.
Yeah, well, the Dickerson thing to me was bigger than the health thing. But again, like, okay, I could kind of see that. If you had said, hey, the O-line falls apart because of injuries and no Bill Callahan, I get that. Hey, Deshaun doesn't work out. Yeah, I think we all came into the season thinking that could happen. Even when we were in season, we were trying to be like, well, okay, he's got to do like 25% more, or 50% more, 100% more, whatever. But like with the defense, these guys, starting with the Dallas game, like the thing that just doesn't cut the mustard for me, and I heard Rodney McLeod, who basically was like, it's miscommunications, and I'm a 13-year vet, and it can happen with me. Yeah, they've happened all season.
Yeah.
So there's something not happening this year that was happening for the most part of last year. And I think some of the metrics say, well, the defense isn't that bad. Yeah, they're not the best defense in the NFL. I was cool with a regression because it's hard to be number one twice.
Yeah.
But to be where they are, to be obvious where it's like...
It's been harder than you thought.
Way harder. Like, yeah, I think they've been a middle-of-the-road defense.
Yeah, you know, last year we had a couple games where the defense won and it didn't matter who your quarterback was. They were just that dominant, right? We talked about the Titans game. We talked about the Cardinals game where collectively in those two games, the defense allowed 3 points. The Bengals game, you allowed Joe Burrow to under 100 yards. Defense allowed 3 total points. Like, there was 3 different games that Deshaun Watson was quarterback for last year where you could have been quarterback, and I mean that with no disrespect. I should have just said Jax, and it wouldn't have mattered, though. It just wouldn't have mattered.
I think we both no.
I said it the way I said it. I said
unintentionally or unintentionally, there was disrespect.
No.
Yeah, it's okay.
No, you totally could have been a quarterback in the NFL. You totally could have done that.
But this year, I think they're...
No.
I think at points they've been elite pressure and then lapses in coverage. Or they've been really good against a run and just good enough against the pass. And or sorry, good enough with a pass rush, and then they've lapsed in coverage. Like, MJ Emerson did not see the regression he's had. Greg's always been kind of a hot and cold player.
But MJ Emerson has been a massive disappointment.
Yeah, and I think
Greg... Never could have saw that coming.
I think Greg has too.
I agree with that.
Like, I could not have seen them. Again, the defense isn't the worst thing on this team.
No.
I thought they were going to be by far and away the absolute best part of this thing, and I just haven't seen it consistently in any game.
I have 2 major questions off of this. The first one I'm going to ask, going to be selfish about it, and then we can actually move the conversation forward.
All right.
With Miles, you know, it was like 4 games without a sack, but then he was so dominant in that game. It's going to skew a lot of how we look at his season, but there was a stretch there where Myles Garrett was getting pressures, but he wasn't Myles Garrett Defensive Player of the Year from last year.
Yeah, and I will give him the pass a little bit because of the injuries.
I saw your eye twitch when I brought up his name and then started to talk, so I got worried.
It's Darius all over
again. I got worried for a second.
I'll say this. I think he's going to get to 10 sacks, and it wouldn't surprise me if they shut him down. He's got the consecutive years with double-digit sacks. I think that does mean that, like, that's a historic thing. I think that matters to him, and I think it should matter to him. It's his legacy. I would not be surprised if once he gets to 10 sacks, if all of a sudden, especially if that comes in like the Saints game and you lose, once they get to 2-8, like, why are you sending a guy out there with feet injuries that are impacting his Achilles? Like, at some point you're asking for it if it happens.
Yeah, but he might do the Denzel Ward where it doesn't matter what the record is and doesn't matter what every logical person will tell you. He's got something to play for.
Yeah, the something to play for is your future. Like, this is, because I'll be honest with you, I'm on the fence with Kevin. I'm on the fence with Andrew too. Just to be clear, we might end up landing on different sides of the fence when we get into this conversation. I'm not really pro either of these guys right now because this is so ugly. Like,
but where I wanted to go is because you brought up the defense.
Well, can I land the plane on that real quick?
Yeah,
just real
go
quick.
Ahead.
So I'm not pro either. But I'm on the fence with Kevin. If you let, because we did this with Baker, we did this with Deshaun, we've done this with guys playing through injuries, and then that has led to either a lack of success or the player getting hurt worse. I'm going to tell you right now, if whether it's Denzel or whether it's Miles, if either of those guys comes down with an injury that costs them the rest of the season and next year, or parts of next year, most of the offseason, like, for instance, Miles with an Achilles. If that happens because Kevin didn't have the huevos grande to go to Miles and say, we love you, we need to protect you from you, let's take care of those feet, and, you know, you're still a big part here. Like, we're not cheaping you here, but at some point, somebody...
I don't think it's his call.
Yeah, but, well, okay. That's the problem.
I say, like, does he have the huevos and all that nonsense? I don't think he does.
Well, okay, then somebody in the organization. This is we're going all the way back to adult in the room. Somebody has to be able to go to Miles and say, Miles, you're a singularly great player. We're better when you're on the field, but we're best when you're on the field and you're healthy. So I do. This is another part of the all right. The big picture, like, we got to take care of our guys, and because the player's always going to want to play. But the Browns are the only organization that are like, well, they said they wanted to play, so I guess we got to play him. Every organization, like the Chiefs, have sat Mahomes for a game or two when he wasn't healthy. They, like, every winning organization, the Ravens have done this with their players. If he's not healthy enough to play and he's not functional, and we're worried about a bigger injury, every team has done it. And the Browns are like, I mean, I guess we got to see it. Like, he said he wanted to play. Whoopsie doopsie. No. No, that is the biggest thing. And it, to me, it's those two players.
Yeah, it's different than other sports where you're like, well, basketball players play. They, you know, hoopers hoop. It's like, you know, it's not that way. With football players, they can just take the time off.
Only in Cleveland. Only in Cleveland, apparently.
It's how we look at it. But all right, bigger picture here, though, because you said about the defense. At the end of the year, does Jim Schwartz stay?
Yeah, because I don't necessarily put it on him.
Even if you get rid of Stefanski, does Jim Schwartz stay?
Yeah, but that's because the guy who I would hire already has a relationship with Jim Schwartz.
Are you talking about Vrabel?
Oh, yes, I am.
I don't know that Vrabel wants to come here. I say that is simple. If I look and see what happened to Kevin Stefanski, and I see how Kevin Stefanski feels like he's been micromanaged, Kevin Stefanski feels like he has to be, how much say does he really have 5 years into this? We don't really know. Mm-hmm. Didn't seem like the quarterback options were any of his decisions. If I'm Vrabel, I have all sorts of options in the NFL. Why am I signing up to be in a Jimmy Haslam organization?
Because you're not going to treat Mike Vrabel like you treated Kevin Stefanski.
That's
a big part.
I would hope. Like I don't know if I have that guarantee.
Like I think
Jimmy will say something, and I don't know that he'll stay to it, but I don't even know that he would get that guarantee to begin with.
Well, here's the thing. I think Big Jim has got to make some big decisions. And it's not just Jimmy. I think that there's more of a conglomerate there of multiple Haslams and maybe Dee Podesta's there. I think this offseason, even if it's with Kevin and Andrew, put the football guys in total football power. Let's remove some of the restrictions from these guys. Like, I'm on the fence with Kevin and Andrew. I see what they've done that is good. I see what has clearly led to an absolutely disastrous season. And what I understand the vitriol that fans have for both of them. And sometimes I can get in that same mindset. So if you're going to keep them, though, West Coast Paul's got to go. It's got to be elevated in a way that makes sense for both guys to be fully empowered, where they're not beholden to anybody but themselves.
Well, I mean, and the reason why I bring it up with Vrabel is pretty simple, because whether it's Vrabel or somebody else, what message have you sent to any head coach that would want to come here that it's a desirable place to come here?
Well, I mean,
when it comes to having any sort of say or any sort of power or any sort of anything as a head coach.
Yeah, I still don't know how much of that is a narrative.
Like, I think it's a big one.
I think that is a pro Kevin Stefanski narrative that I think befuddles me. Like, when, remind you, Kevin Stefanski.
I'm talking about the guy that would replace Stefanski. Well, so no, I don't know if it's a pro Stefanski narrative.
No. It's pro. The idea that Kevin doesn't have any power is a pro Stefanski narrative.
Do you believe he has power?
Yes.
You believe
he's an NFL head coach?
You,
yes.
You thought he had the decision between Deshaun or not to play?
No, but I don't think any NFL head coach does. I don't think Mike Vrabel in Tennessee had that say. I think
Andy Reid could decide anything he wants.
So he could bench Pat Mahomes?
I think Andy Reid can decide basically anything he wants. Why would he bench Patrick Mahomes? That would just be dumb.
No. Like, do you think Andy Reid, if Pat Mahomes had a bad
Andy
season?
Andy Reid legitimately went to the Hunt family and said, listen, I think Mahomes is hurt. I think Mahomes is broke. I think Mahomes isn't the Patrick Mahomes. And you know what? Every single day at practice, I see this kid. Carson Wentz is the backup right now. I see Carson Wentz. You got to play with me to play with me here on this. But I see Carson Wentz being the guy, or whoever their like fundamental rookie is, or developmental rookie, whatever. I think they'd be like, okay, fine.
I think Pat Mahomes has more power. So we'll just agree to disagree. But my point is, I think this idea that Kevin has no power only comes up when they lose and people criticize Kevin.
Okay, but the impression around the league is exactly that. So, like, if you're going to be a head coach and you're thinking about going to a spot.
So he's got a good agent.
Like, Ben Johnson, for instance, didn't end up in Chicago. Why? Because it's like, oh, I see who's pulling the strings. Wait. I'd have to respond to Kevin Warren. So, I'd have to respond to basically everyone. Polls, all these people, the McCaskey family, everyone.
This is a two-parter. One, that perception goes all the way back to the Browns' two previous hiring processes. So we don't know how real it is or not. And two, you can change that by telling the coach, no, you're going to have the power. Or the GM is your boss, and it's you guys, not Dee Podesta, not this, that, the other. But again, I only hear that poor Kevin has no power when they're losing.
Well, I'm just saying how much they've damaged themselves in the future with this stuff.
When Kevin wins, oh my God, he fixed Joe Flacco. The man has the Midas touch. He does everything. Look at the power that Kevin has. So he gets all the credit and none of the blame. Does that seem like a real assessment? Or does that seem like a bunch of people who like Kevin Stefanski saying nice things about Kevin Stefanski and shading him when they can.
I'm just talking about the perception around the league, though, Nick. Like, the perception around the league is that...
I think they're the same thing.
No, I disagree with you. I disagree. I think you're making two completely different points here. I think I'm talking about what Mike Vrabel could potentially look at, and then you're turning it into some sort of pro-Stefanski narrative, but it's not really the case.
Well, no. So, specific to what you're saying, the Browns can answer to that. Jimmy Haslam can answer to that, whether it's Vrabel or anybody else. I don't want to just make it about Mike. They can say, hey, the things that cause that perception to be out there, you're now our lead football guy, and you're now empowered. 216-474-0092. What did you get most wrong about this Browns team? There's a lot all of us got wrong. We are going to get into the bigger issue, whether the Browns are poorly coached or poorly built. We know they're both. We're going to choose a side. Next on 92.3 The Fan.
How many teams in NFL history have had a trade last year? The way the Commanders went down, they traded people at the deadline, obviously. They traded Montez Sweat. They traded all sorts of people. And then this following year, they're now buyers at the deadline. And you're starting to wonder if they're pushing the Jaden Daniels clock and starting to get that thing ticking. It's a rarity. It's a very rare thing. But if the Browns did hit on quarterback, Nick, I do think they have the core here that if Cam Ward was awesome and you drafted him, I do think there's enough there to be like, okay, now we're back to being buyers again. It just takes you hitting on a quarterback that is not, what's the guarantee there? There's no guarantee there. You can't make a plan around that.
Yeah, but
that's not a plan. That's just hope.
Yeah, but hitting on a quarterback could mean anything. Like, you hit on Baker. Like, Baker's a really good quarterback. He is a really good quarterback, but he's not a franchise quarterback, right?
Yeah, but Jaden Daniels is a franchise quarterback. I think we were talking about franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Like, that's hope. Like, and
that's
by
all
the
it
way,
is. And you can sell hope, but hope is not a plan.
You can have the number one pick, and you're not guaranteed. It's not a guarantee that there's a franchise quarterback in this class. You might end up getting a really good one. And even if you get a really good one, a guy who's ready to be good number, you know, if it's Baker, but he can be Baker who Baker is in Tampa, and he's that day one, might be a 500 team. And so getting back to it, though, and by 500 team, I meant more like an 8-win team, because I just remembered there were 17 games now and I have to do the odd math now.
No, I think you're drawing it kind of up like Caleb Williams almost, where Caleb Williams and the Bears kind of look like a 500 team. They got their franchise quarterback. They looked really good. They won 7 games last year, by the way, with Justin Fields. But they look like they're going to be this year probably around a 500 team when it's all said and done.
I think they can change the perception on which direction they're heading next year. I don't think they're going to be back to where the Super Bowl, Super Browns thing. And I think that's just really important.
Yeah,
and
I mean, and by the way, about where we are right now. It would be very, it'd be very hard to dream of a scenario where you could get back to Super Bowl, Super Browns that quick.
I do think, I'm going to save that one for a different day. I do think, so I'll go in a different direction here.
Sure.
Improving. I do think that whether you're one offseason away or three, I do think that should dictate some jobs.
Yeah, for sure. Because then you think about it. Like, if you give somebody, if it's Stefanski, for instance, and then you say this thing's going to be 3 years before you can get going, well, Stefanski's going to be a head coach for 8 seasons with 1 playoff win? Can you name a time anywhere in NFL history? And maybe there's going to be 1 or 2 outliers, but I can't think of it.
Jason Garrett.
But you got one of the most loyal owners in the history of sports when it comes to Jerry Jones with coaches.
As long as you're a kiss butt.
When it comes to coaches, The man, he just does it. He just gives you jobs forever. Same thing with the Steelers. They give you jobs forever. Like, and I think that might be another scenario, but even Tomlin's got, he's got Super Bowls in his back pocket. It's been 7 years since he's won a playoff game. But the point is you don't get many situations where you get 8 years and 1 playoff win. You don't get many where it's 5 years and 1 playoff win.
216-474-0092. So we're going to start here with this part of it, because the other thing that Zach said is they are poorly coached and they're poorly built. We'll get into the bigger culprit there in a moment. But Jimmy in Strongsville, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, hi, guys. Real quick, you know, we talk and people talk, fans talk, you guys talk, radio, all this great stuff. But the bottom line is, even if you get all these, you have a fire sale or you don't have a fire sale, the bottom line is you have the wrong people picking with using the draft choices. These people, the people who are running the Browns today, be it you know, Andrew Berry or DePodesta or what little impact probably that Stefanski has, these are the wrong people. And there's a track record now out there with Andrew Berry. Forget the debacle of Baker Mayfield letting him go. What a disaster that's turned into. And then you double down on the disaster by giving Deshaun all this money. That's not my real point, though. My real point is these guys are the wrong people. And then moving forward, the other point I would like an address to the media, to everyone in the media, is no one, you know, there had to have been a point at some point in the Browns organization where somebody walked into somebody's office. I don't know if it was Dee Podesta. I don't know if it was Andrew Berry. I don't know if it was Dee Haslam. I don't know if it was Mary Kay Cabot. But somebody walked into the Browns office and said, hey, we could maybe maneuver to open talks with Deshaun Watson. I want to know who that person was.
Brian in accounting.
It's always Brian in accounting.
Right, Brian. It's always Brian in accounting. But I want to know who's the goofball that came up with this idea. And I don't think it was Kevin Stefanski, and I don't think it was Jimmy Haslam initially. Okay, it was somebody inside the personnel department with Andrew Berry or Dee Podesta. And I want to know who that person is, because whoever it is, they should be gone tomorrow.
All right,
it's
thank you,
ridiculous.
Jimmy.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Jimmy, real quick, you feeling all right? You sitting a little under the weather?
No, I'm great, man.
All right, well, feel better. Be good, Jimmy in Strongsville.
What was that at the end of Jimmy?
Oh, no, I sound a little nasally. I want to make it's cold and flu season. We're launching it. Daryl's sick. I just want to make sure I'm taking care of our people, okay?
Okay.
I'll be honest with you.
He was like, no, I feel great. Now he's going to be self-conscious about his voice for the rest of time.
I'll tell you, if he gets a positive COVID test tomorrow, Jimmy, you heard it here first.
That's right. That's right.
I heard it. I'm that good. I'm early detection. Just going to walk down the street. You're pregnant. You have obesity. That one's an easy one.
That's an easy one. Out,
yeah. Yeah, I just look in the mirror. So I do think that because there's camps forming. Like, we just got rid of the...
Well, that was an anti-Andrew Berry camp that called in.
Yeah, and I think there's a fair amount of people in that camp. I think there are people who are anti-Kevin. And the reality is, I do think there's a catch-22 here. That I think it's quite possible that one of these guys is worse at their job than the other. I still am having trouble deciphering who truly... like, because I think if that's true... Well, you fire the right guy, hire the right guy to replace him, and you might fix the Browns without having to do wholesale changes. I just don't know right now, like, which one I definitively think is worse at their job.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we can just say they both kind of stink at their job right now, and that just is the reality, right? I just don't know that it has to be a I'm choosing a side here when to the Browns.
I meant for the Browns.
Yeah,
I think Jimmy has to know. Who is worse at their job? Who might be hampered? Because here's the thing.
Do you think it's not? I mean, what are your odds then of suggesting that it would be a clear, clean house?
I don't think those work to the degree. Listen, the Andy Reid, John Dorsey's in Kansas City, those are package deals, and those are anomalies.
You really think, and I don't know one way or another. You really think we're going to have he's going to choose Barry or Stefanski, and one of them's going to win out the tug of war?
I think if you asked me, I'd probably say they're going to choose Barry. GMs tend to, I'm going to make a generality.
Yeah.
This is not what I would do. GMs tend to get that second life with a new coach. And head coaches, you don't get multiple GMs. You're Andy
Reid. Head coaches always take more blame in a city because they're in front of us way more. We see them more. We see them on game day. We can directly point to their mistakes in a way that it's a lot harder to when it comes to GMs. Like, yeah, it's usually how it goes. I haven't closed the door on the idea that it is more sweeping changes. And maybe it ends up being just something like it's Paul DePodesta and Stefanski, and then Barry all of a sudden saves it. But the way I look at it right now, Nick, I'm looking at it like it's Barry, it's Stefanski, and they're either there together or they're both gone at the end. I don't see it being one or the other.
So here's the thing. If you said, because I think with Andrew and Kevin, like, what do you think each of their greatest selling point is right now to keep their job?
I think with Stefanski, I think what he's got to do is try to convince Jimmy Haslam that he is a great play caller, even though he obviously gave up the plays, but he's got to try to convince him. right? He's got to make the case with Joe Flacco. He's got to point out every quarterback under the sun, and he's got to try to live with that. And then if you're Barry, I think it's so hard right now for Barry to sell. I think the sell to Haslam, if you're Barry, is so much harder than the sell that Stefanski would have to make. Because what draft picks are you really pointing to? You're pointing to trades with Amari, like stuff like that. I mean, like, the best players on this team were all John Dorsey draft picks, Nick.
What about JOK?
It's all the core of this team, and JOK is a part of that. But it's Denzel Ward, it's Myles Garrett, it's those type of players. The guys you've given the big money to, the majority of them have been Dorsey picks.
So I think Andrew has actually brought in some quality players. I think it's fair to say he hasn't brought in like the core guys that are untouchable. Like Grant Delpit, I think, is a nice starter. He's probably not a guy. If somebody came up and said third rounder for Grant Delpit, you'd probably do that if you weren't Andrew Berry and drafted him.
Yeah, I mean, he's made some nice trades. He's drafted one Pro Bowler on record.
Yeah, and that's okay, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why it took me a minute to get that. So I think when it comes to Kevin, he's a good play caller, which his job's a head coach, but I digress. With Andrew, it's the trades. And some free agent signing. He's made a couple good. I think Dalvin's really worked out. I think there might be a couple other. The first year of Jadavian. There's a couple moves that I actually think you can point to that have actually worked out in free agency.
Yeah.
I think the problem is, what's the number one thing I want from a head coach? Leadership. What's the number one?
He doesn't have that.
What's the number one thing I want from a GM? Drafting.
Doesn't have that.
So when I'm now going on 5 years of football, and I'm like, well, I think he's a really good offensive coordinator, but I don't know his head coach material. And, well, I think he does some things that I like of a GM, but the most important thing is I don't think he's cut the mustard. He might be the 480 coaches or the 480 winning percentage of GMs when it comes to drafting. Yeah, you need to get to above 500.
Okay, but you sound like you're getting to a spot where you're ready to get rid of both, which is something that you historically said you don't believe the NFL does much of.
Well, no, I don't think it works. Not with this guy. Not with Jimmy. Yeah, I think it's really hard if you already have your own consistency issues as an owner to then, in one off season, fix it all.
Okay, so knowing that's as hard as you know it is, what would you do?
I'd fire Kevin.
Just Kevin?
No, okay, I'm saying this today. If this plays out the way it's played out the first 9 games, the last 8 games, I want to see a different leader. I think leadership was a problem with the Cavs, with JB, his style of leadership and the lack of offensive acumen. I think the style of leadership is problematic. I think you have a team that doesn't know what to do when it gets punched in the face. They don't have an identity. That falls at the head coach.
Yeah, I look at him still like a band almost, and I know some bands will change out like the drummer or something like this. I look at him like they're either on tour or they're not. They're either all together or they're not, and it's tough. There's no easy way out. We're a 2-7 football team. We stink. That's why we have to have these conversations.
216-474-0092. Eric and Akron, you stick there. What is the bigger issue for the Browns right now? That they're poorly coached or poorly built? I want to get JP's take on this next on 92.3 The Fan.
I didn't look at it. How many votes do we have?
We got 79 votes.
I'm gonna need some more. votes before I get such one sided. Well, I want to know. I think I want to give off my opinion first, though. I don't want to seem like a contrarian. Right. I don't want to seem like a person that's like, oh, well, they all said this, so let me go do this now.
All right.
No. It's not what it is.
All right. What is it?
I think they're poorly built, Alex.
Oh, oof.
Yes, that's what I'm going to say. Then.
Oh, I didn't know if you were deciding as you were saying it, but the way you were saying it there.
Oh, we were building it up.
I think they're poorly built.
All right, now what did the people say?
82% are saying poorly built. Yeah. Is this just because of Deshaun?
No, I think it's because of the wide receivers. I think it's because of the running game. I think it's because of a lot of the areas that seemed like they had holes that we probably could have identified before the season, and maybe some people even did. And then the known quantities obviously didn't show up the way that we thought they would. That's fine, but it was aided by the idea that you had a lot of different areas where they didn't perform the way that we wanted to perform.
I think if your answer is they're poorly built because the quarterback stunk, gotcha. Okay, tough to argue. Hey, these other 52 guys are great. This guy sucks. Well, that guy matters more than the other 52 guys maybe combined, so I kind of get it. Man, I really struggle because it's the same roster that won 11 games last year. And again, that points back to what's different. Well, the quarterback's different. But I don't know that even – I don't even know the quarterback decision was Andrew Berry specific to this year. So when it comes to So I'll be honest with you. It's 51-49 for me in my head.
Okay. That's closer than I think a lot of people listening would think it would be in your head.
Meaning, like, I think both guys have done just enough for me to say, look at all the things they've done. And I think more importantly, though, both guys have done things that have irked me to a degree that I'm – don't cry for me, Argentina, if you get fired, right? So I want to put it this way.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you spent a lot of money on this roster. I think there's
more than
a lot
anybody in the NFL.
I think there's a lot of good football players on this roster.
Yeah.
I just think the quarterback wasn't who you traded for him to be. And then I think everything falls apart because of discipline, leadership, vision, and execution. Like, if this team didn't lead the league in penalties, including simple penalties that, like, quite frankly, like, I get that this offense was going to be destined to be bad with Deshaun. It wasn't great with Deshaun the two previous years. It wasn't non-functional. This last week, guys, proved a lot of the things that it wasn't just about Deshaun again. Because they did not function.
Yeah.
The only time they functioned is when the Chargers said, I think we're getting ready to move on to the next game. Here's some prevent defense for you.
Well, doesn't that kind of lead to your point, though? Like that when things snowball, they snowball?
Yeah. Well, but I think that's leadership. I think that's coaching. And I think for some reason, we've stopped putting things on coaches. Well, they're professionals. Yeah, professionals can be led. Watch a Mike Tomlin team and tell me that Mike Tomlin isn't a leader of that team. Watch Mike Vrabel teams previously. Mike's not perfect, by the way. He had a couple losing seasons in Tennessee.
Yeah, he did.
But they didn't fall apart in terms of like playing hard or playing together. They just didn't have talent. That's a different. This team has talent. Now, we can say, does the talent fit together? But I just think, like, if we're going to say last year's team, the two same teams, very little changes other than the quarterback, and I understand that's a big thing. But if we're going to say identical, go My Cousin Vinny on it.
Yeah, I don't know that they're that identical, but they're close. They're very close.
Everything outside of the quarterback is the same.
Your wide receiver room is different. You added Jerry Judy. Amari Cooper's not on the team right now, and you used last week as a big base. Like it's not a apples to apples thing, but it's close.
But it's
very close. We don't need to get caught up if it's close or not. It's close.
Right. So my point is though, like the things that I think helped you last year were you did have everything kind of fall in line, but the thing that kind of got you over the hump was you had guys who could withstand punches. Something changed in that thing over the offseason. Did the guys just get older and bad all of a sudden? Because I don't think anybody walked in saying it's a bad roster. So I don't know what changed from 3 weeks ago, or not 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago to now. But I do know that the fight that the team had last year is non-existent this year.
Oh, yeah. Of course. No, it's not there.
And that's kind of what I point to coaching on.
Okay. Well, you said 51-49. So
yeah,
so
it's 51 coaching.
It's close in either direction.
And 49. And the only out, listen, when it comes to leadership, I don't have an out for a coach. You're a head coach. You're not the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I look at it like if you gave me a blank sheet and said you have more money than any other team in the NFL to go ahead and spend on, and here's 2 years, see what you can do. I would expect one of those seasons to be an 11-win season, and I would not expect the other season to be what is a 2-7 season, mm-hmm. where you're going to end up winning 4 or 5 games, whatever that ends up being. Like it is a lot of money to be able to spend to not have results.
Yeah, and here's the other thing about that. I think we have to start removing things that do and don't matter. I'm not saying in the big picture the money doesn't matter. What I'm saying is we have to start stripping away the things that have nothing to do with their failure this year. You can't do that with Deshaun. You can't do that with leadership. And quite frankly, you can't do it with the drafting of Andrew for the last 5 years. The one potential asterisk on the Andrew part of this in terms of roster composition and having to rely on 1 year deals with vets and stuff like that is he didn't have 3 first rounders.
Yeah.
I don't have the asterisk to give Kevin. And I think that's why it's 51-49. How about you?
No, I mean, it's very fair. Do you want me to put a percentage on it? What else do you want me to tell you on that?
Is it like one side?
I said it was poorly built. It's not like 80-20 or anything like that. Now, you know, I defend Stefanski a little bit more than I feel like maybe you do in many respects. But I don't think that's like a high bar to clear or anything like that. I don't know, I'd say like 60-40, somewhere around there. Like, both situations are bad, Nick. It's not, we're at that spot in the season. Both situations are really bad. They're really lousy. You can blame coaching at times, but then you can also blame the development. For sure you can. You can blame all sorts of things.
Isn't development also on coaching, though? Because I think that is the in-between gray area.
Well, and that's what we always debated with Andrew Berry. Like, was he a bad drafter of wide receivers? Or did they not develop the wide receivers and they were actually good? They just never got developed when they were here.
Except Anthony Schwartz. He was stink on, you know what.
Oh, brick hands.
Yeah.
They're all brick hands.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Tooch in Texas. What's up, Tooch?
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen. It's Pooch, P-O-O-C-H, in Houston, Texas.
That makes more sense there. Pooch, what you got for us, Pooch?
Formerly from Streetsboro. So anyway, I would just say that, you know, we got both. Answer C, you know, because, I mean, honestly, I agree with everything that everyone said on the building of the Browns and where we're at. That's just hard to deny. But, you know, with all of the miscues and penalties that we're having early in the season, it just looked like everyone was not on the same page. And I guess I would just put that on the coaches. And I think Deshaun had his issues with poor play, but he had some games where he overcame poor coaching and poor play from others. I guess you're never as good as you think or as bad as you would think unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs and Detroit Lions.
Pooch, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
I cut him off again. I'm so bad at that.
Yeah,
now,
Pooch seemed disappointed with your thank you very much there, by the way.
I know. Well,
he let his heart out there. He was really like, he's like, I'm gonna tell you football. And then you just said thank you very
Pooch,
much.
Man to man. We're up against it. That's all that was. Two things. One, whatever your answer is, and I freely give everybody an answer. If you think it's Barry, that's fine. If you think this is more about the GM, it's tough for me to argue. If you think it's more about the head coach, I kind of lean that way anyways, but it's tough for me to argue. That should inform where we fall with the Browns and what changes could or should be made. I'd also like to point out that because it was Tooch on the call screener, when we took it, and his name was Pooch, Andrew Hody hit like the my bad, which I think we knew.
Oh, that's taking ownership, though. Yeah. I like that. That's
I don't think he needed to. I think we got
that's Denzel Ward after the game. Yeah. Being like, hey, that's on me. That's,
nobody
that's
else
on me.
Put Tuch in there, but we understood. We understood where the error happened.
Nice job taking responsibility there, Hody.
And you can be better. You will be better. It's a 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.